Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. In the midst of a chapter devoted to the theme of Christian living, we read in Romans chapter 12 and verse 8, that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. In Mark 5 and verse 7, we read, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Well, these passages show the recognition of a need and the willingness to supply the need. The principle of sowing and reaping is seen in this last passage also, because one who sows mercy shall reap mercy. When we see others in various conditions that are unfortunate, conditions that are hard for them, remember the old saying, there but for the grace of God go I. Friend, there are languishing souls all around us. People are suffering from illness and grief and losses of many kinds. Some are driven to despair, almost without hope and without goals, lacking understanding for the true purposes of life. The human family in general is to be looked upon with a great degree of pity. Now, we all have burdens of some kind, and they are not the same, nor of the same degree of severity. But who does not have problems in this life? To be sure, some have far more of them than others, and some are stronger than others and deal with them more easily. This is one reason the strong should help the weaker, Romans chapter 14. Some situations are beyond our ability to control or to relieve because we do have limitations. Some illnesses, for instance, are terminal. Nothing more can be done about them. There is the inevitable problem of the aged if we live long enough. People have various infirmities and handicaps from which they may never be able to recover. But we all need to know that somebody cares what happens to them. Caring is being like Christ. It's being like the Father. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Those who are lost in sin, whom we try to reach with the gospel, they do not care how much we know until they are sufficiently impressed with how much we care. How much does God care for me? How much does He care for you? I have that answer because what He has done on my behalf. He sent His only begotten Son into this world, and the Son died on the cross for my sins. He was raised from the dead to offer eternal life to all of us. He gave His life that we might live. This shows how much God cares about us. We read, I cried unto the Lord with my voice. With my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. I poured out my complaint before Him. I showed before Him my trouble. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then Thou knewest my path. In the way wherein I walked have they privily laid a snare for me. And I looked on my right hand and beheld, and there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. Psalm 142, verses 1 through 4. Well, the psalmist was besieged with his enemies all around, and troubles galore. The way was dark, it was dreary. He was ever so lonely. And more than all that, he felt that nobody cared whether he lived or died. Notice what he said, no man cared for my soul. I think that's one of the most pathetic phrases we find in all of God's book. But God did care. Verses 5 through 7 continue, I cried unto thee, O Lord. I said, Thou art my refuge and portion in the land of the living. Attend unto my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. Bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise thy name. The righteous shall compass me about, for thou shalt deal bountifully with me. Friend, to not care about others, that's so cold, so callous, so cruel. In our world, some show themselves more concerned about their animals and the environment than people, and the welfare of people. Many are more concerned for the material than the spiritual matters of life. Why do not more people value the soul, which is worth more than all the world? Matthew 16:26. Is it because they really do not care?
Then I like Paul, who considered himself obligated to other people, Romans 1 and verse 14, for we have been saved to save, dear friend. Someone loved us enough to teach us the way of salvation. Shall we not do as much for some other? It is a mark of ingratitude not to care. People who are all for themselves and not for others, they are not appreciative of the blessings that's been given to them. In fact, it is a sin not to care. The Great Commission is to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's a product of divine concern for mankind. Recovering the fallen, as we read in James chapter 5, that reflects a caring attitude. The mission of Christ, to seek and to save the lost, that was the result of caring. And we sing a song, Must I Go? And empty-handed? Friend, I'm asking, shall we not care enough to reach out to others? Now, we've already mentioned that caring is like Christ, but let us explore this thought just a bit more. Look at his life, and look how he regarded the sick, the sorrowful, the weak, the poor, even the children. Look how he considered his disciples and those that were lost. That he cared is so obvious. And we're to follow in his steps, 1 Peter 2 and verse 21. Jesus taught that serving is the mark of greatness. Caring provides for serving. If one cares, he will serve. To care for others is to show you care for Christ, Matthew chapter 10. Our lives will be misspent, friend, if they are centered only on ourselves. The needs of our world are so many, and the opportunities are never lacking to render benefit for those who are less fortunate. And people who care are those who lend assistance in time of need. When we care, we will share what we have. 1 John 3 and verse 17. Christians have the correct attitude toward possessions. We recognize that nothing we have is our own. We are but stewards of that which belongs to God. And as stewards, we shall give an account of what we do with what is entrusted to us. Now, we might think of the good that we would do if we had $1 million. Well, what are we doing with what we do have? Two friends walked along one time, and one said, "If you had $2, would you give me one?" And the answer was, "Why, certainly I would. You are my friend." "Well, if you had 2 suits, would you give me one?" And the answer was, "Certainly, you are my friend." And then the question, "If you had 2 pigs, would you give me one?" And the response was, "Why, man, you know I got 2 pigs. Friend, is our sharing more talk than reality? Are we truly willing to care? To the point that we will share. Now, we work for personal and elaborate comforts, and nothing is necessarily sinful in that. But do we study his word? And how can brethren, I want us to consider this, how can we go out here and build playgrounds when the world goes without the gospel and missionaries go begging for support? The early church was caring and sharing. You consider the passages that you read in Scripture, how churches helped one another, how giving was admonished, how brethren sold the things that they had in order to provide for those who were in need. You see how the Gentiles aided the Jews to care and to share. That's a mark of genuine Christian love. Did not the widow care in giving of her mite? In Matthew 12 and verse 42? In the judgment scene of Matthew chapter 25, those who failed to care failed to share, and those who cared shared. Is there not a danger in our world where there is so much need and many calls for assistance that we become numb to the needs of others? Well, possibly so. The frequency of hearing about the needs and seeing the needs and knowing of the distressful conditions, being bombarded with a veritable avalanche of calls for help, we can, if we're not careful, develop a sense of helplessness and we resort to doing nothing. But that plight is coupled with the schemers and the dishonest solicitations that often come our way. There are those who make it their profession to just solicit gifts and not work. And we can become cynical and skeptical of the motives and the way gifts are being dispersed. But friend, the admonition of the lesson is this. We dare not let such distractions blind us or cause us to take our eye off of the goal of truly caring and then sharing. And while we cannot do everything, we must do something. And we must do what we can. You know, some criticize what is done, but as the saying goes, I like the way I am doing it better than the way that you're not doing it. And we show we truly care for a people when we teach them the way of the salvation for their soul. Friend, the way has been provided by God through His Son, Jesus Christ, and His death on the cross. We're saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. And we have to reach that blood. And we reach that blood in obedience to the gospel commands. We must believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And believing that, repent of and turn from our sins. Confess our faith in Christ as God's Son, and be baptized into Christ for the remission of sins. When we do that, we will be raised from the watery grave as a new creature to walk in the footsteps of Christ all the days of our life, and having done so faithfully, we will be among those that will hear the words, "Well done, good and faithful servant," and heaven will be our home. This is that which we want for ourselves, and this is that which we should want for others. And if we care, we will share with them this great truth. This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.